Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, February 18th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Luke Montgomery. Luke is one of our newly ordained deacons, and I look forward to a time when he and I will talk about things of life and faith after he reads the scripture today. Thanks, Luke, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mary. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version and starting with Genesis 37, 1 through 11. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word of him. Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Our next reading is Psalm 68, 1 through 18. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. His smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps, men divided the plunder. Even while you sleep among the campfires, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow falling on Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze and envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountains where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands, and the Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there. And our final reading is John 5, 19 through 47. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Thank you so much, Luke, for joining the podcast today. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm Luke Montgomery. I am married to Haley. We've been attending Mount Brook Baptist for probably, 7 years. I have a little girl named Ann Louise, who is 6 and in first grade at Chase Cahaba. I have a little boy, James, who's 3 at Harris Early Learning Center. And we've lived in Birmingham probably 15 years now.
How did you and Haley meet?
We met in college in Tuscaloosa now, 20 years ago.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your growing up years. Where did you grow up, and then what took you to Alabama?
So I grew up in Talladega, just an hour east of here. Just had a really normal childhood. My mom taught school. My dad was the mayor and then ran the water board forever, and they're still there, and that was my growing up. I just had a really normal, great childhood, surrounded by a lot of people that love me. And anyway, I went to the University of Alabama for undergrad and law school. I don't know if I always really wanted to be a lawyer. I think there was a time there where I was in business school, and it was like, okay, now you can go get a real job or you can keep going to school. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And my grandfather was a lawyer. My uncle was a lawyer. And it was just, what I thought I'd like to do.
What type of law do you practice now?
So I do trial work. What a lot of people would just refer to as plaintiff's work. We do all kinds of civil cases, a lot of personal injury cases. We do some class cases, mass tort cases. That's our practice.
Is that what brought you to Birmingham?
When I graduated law school, obviously you just have to find a job, right? And so most of the jobs were here in Birmingham. So I got a job here in town, and Haley was already here in town, and so I moved here, and we got married, and we've been here ever since.
I'm curious about your kiddos. You mentioned you have two children. Tell me what it's like to be a dad. What's your favorite part of being a dad?
It's probably the best thing ever. I mean, and I tell people that, like, anytime when, you know, I love how a lot of people be like, you know, there goes your life when you have a kids. I think it's by far been the most enjoyable thing I've ever done. I mean, my favorite thing is just that, you know, they wake up in the morning, I'm usually sitting there drinking coffee on the couch, reading, and, you know, that's how my day starts. Mm-hmm. I can hear James coming down the stairs, and he starts yelling at me about what show he wants to watch on TV. And then usually about 15 or 20 minutes later, Aunt Louise comes in, and that's probably the best way to start the day that I can ever imagine.
How did you and Haley get connected first with Mountain Brook Baptist?
We had recently moved. We live in the Hollywood section of Homewood, and it was a time of our lives where we knew we had to get more involved in church, and find a home church. And so, and this was before Aunt Louise was born, and I can't remember if Haley was pregnant or not at the time, but it's very close to that point in time. And we really went to several churches, and I mean, walked in here and met people that we liked. And I think the biggest thing was people were interested in us and wanted us to be here. And that brought us back. And then, you know, we got connected, and, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Did you grow up in church? Or tell me about how you came to faith or your journey with the Lord.
Yeah, I grew up in church. I mean, church was a huge part of our life. My mom and dad are still involved in the First Baptist Church of Talladega. That's where I probably showed up real soon after I was born, and was there every Sunday and most Wednesday nights and a lot of Sunday nights for, you know, my entire life up until I went off to school. And also, and I know I've talked to this before about this with other people in the church, but, you know, growing up in a town that size, like, church is, you know, not only, you know, the center of your spiritual life, but also your social life too. So we were there all the time. That's how I grew up, and that's where I grew up. And, you know, because I grew up that way, I mean, there was not some kind of Damascus Road experience. It was just, I was probably baptized at 8 or 9 years old. I don't necessarily remember the day. I remember, you know, Ralph Jernigan baptizing me, and then was just involved in every part of the church, whether it was Sunday school or youth group or whatever, until I graduated from high school and moved.
You are involved in a lot of different aspects of our church here. Tell me about one place where you've plugged in.
So the two, I know you asked for one, but the two places I think that are probably the most important is, one, our Sunday school class is great. Met a lot of wonderful people, young families, and going through the same things we're going through. Secondly, and I will give Wayne just all the credit for setting up the growth groups. I think that's been such a wonderful experience. I totally encourage anyone that's listening that's not involved in a growth group to get involved in the growth group, because not only has it been great to study the Bible and then talk to it with others in the church, but it's also been great to get to know others in the church that I never would have known otherwise.
And your group is pretty intergenerational, right?
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, someone in college to, you know, I don't want to say how old people are, but, you know, I mean, it runs the gamut. So, and that's great. I mean, it makes it so much better to get other people's perspectives.
I have often reached out to Haley to find out what you guys are doing on the weekend, because I feel like you take the best day trips or weekend adventures. Tell me about a couple of day trips that you've taken that might be interesting for people that, you know, an hour or two from Birmingham.
the wildest thing we've done recently, and I guess it was about a week or two ago, and I've had this conversation with Charles Ponder and also with Bob Baker. We always talk about why can't they have more animals at the zoo. Not that I don't love our zoo, but we've been waiting on a tiger forever. And I don't know where we saw this place, but there's a place outside of Gadsden called Tigers for Tomorrow with literally 30 tigers. I don't know how many lions. It's the craziest thing. It's kind of strange. I don't know if anyone's watched Tiger King on this. you kind of wonder what you showed up for. It's worth checking out. You should drag the kids up there. You may be a little spooked because it gets kind of crazy when you're walking in there. But it is it's wild. And then on the way up there, we just hit Nakalula Falls, which nobody ever talks about that place, but it's super cool.
Took your advice and went to Nakalula Falls, and it is a great hike and seeing the waterfall, and you can walk up behind the waterfall. That's super cool.
Super. Yeah. I don't feel like we did a lot of that stuff until COVID hit. And then, what was so nice about part of that was we didn't have a ton of stuff to do. Really, obviously, we didn't have childcare for a period of time, and we were able to go and see things. I told y'all we talked about going to Dismal's Canyon.
Dismal's Canyon as well. Tell them about Dismal's Canyon.
It's just an awesome place, an hour and a half, 2 hours away that, if you like the outdoors, you like to hike, you walk down that little rickety staircase and you're just in this just amazing little canyon and you're like, where am I?
What is your favorite type of food and do you have a favorite restaurant in Birmingham?
I love to eat tacos. I love all the taco trucks. There's one on First Avenue North, right close to Innovation Depot, that I think is the same one as the one on West Valley in the Texaco parking lot, if you know which one I'm talking about.
I know which one you're talking about. I love a good taco truck, but I didn't know about the one on First Avenue North.
I think they're the same family, and I probably hit that one twice a week just because it's so close to my work, and it's just the best. And it's also, crazy reasonable, right, compared to everything else. The other places I think that are just great when it comes to Mexican food is if you've never been into Meat Pueblo over on Green Springs, go to the meat counter and pick up some chorizo and whatever else they have in there because it is amazing.
Luke, we're really excited about all of our new deacons, but I just want to thank you for serving our church in that way. What is a hope that you have as a deacon?
Gosh, Mary, never thought about that. I guess I just really hope that, we can just remain just a great, awesome church that loves each other and loves everyone else.
Amen. Thanks again, Luke, for joining the podcast and for all you do. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes. Thank you, Father, for this day and for all that you've given us. Help us to be, grateful and joyful for all that you've given us. Help our church just continue to grow and serve others, and help us to imitate Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.